do it in the public streets, in the arena of everyday life rather than in the church. And sure enough, that's what happened in our story today. Sermon one that Rob talked about last week was Peter getting up and speaking on the day of Pentecost to the gathered crowds in downtown Jerusalem. Remarkable things happened then because everyone heard the gospel in their own language. And 3,000 people were converted. Praise God! The church is born with a bang. And now we come on to Sermon 2. Well, what has happened since then is that Peter and John were walking to the temple for the afternoon prayer. And as they did, they came across somebody who had been crippled since birth. The reading just before ours today tells us that this man had never walked, and every day people brought him to the temple, to the beautiful gate, to beg. And as I read that passage, I had the sense that as Peter and John looked at him and he looked at them, Peter must have had, I think, some sense of a word of knowledge from God that he wanted to do something for that man then and there. And he told him that in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, he should get up and walk. And the narrative tells us that he did. And he walked and leapt and jumped and followed them to the temple, and a crowd gathered. It was late in the day. And the temple police were very disturbed by what they saw going on, and that this was being claimed in the name of Jesus. And they arrested Peter and John. They held them in prison overnight. And then we come to the narrative of today's talk, Acts chapter 4. And we see Peter facing his second audience. This time, not the common people on the streets, but if you like, the Supreme Court of the Jewish Sanhedrin. 71 people, that was the number, I'm told, that were in that body. The rulers and leaders of the people, versed in the scriptures, knowledgeable on all matters of Judaism. "By what power or name did you do this thing?" they ask. The man who had been healed was standing with them, the narrative tells us. What explanation could they give? What possible explanation can you give for the healing of a man crippled from birth? Let me just see if I can work the clicker. Oh, here we go. Remember this? Superstar, Jesus Christ superstar from the early 1970s. Box office success in the West End. Around about this time, I myself was preaching in the inner city streets of Birmingham, in Aston. I was then in my early 20s. This was about 1972 or so. And I had the strangest of experiences. If we had a van going round with speakers on the top, a mission from our local church, and I was saying, "Jesus Christ is a superstar," and then was going on to explain why. And this was in hailing reach of the Villa Ground, if any of you happen to know that area of Birmingham. And fortunately on that day, I was not arrested. Neither were 3,000 people converted, but some people who were listening invited me into their house. And we had a discussion. They were Muslim people. They were immigrants to that part of Birmingham, and they sought to explain to me that they revered Jesus as a prophet, but that he had survived the cross, he'd gone on to live in India, and to this day he is revered as a prophet. Now, I'd never heard that story before. Strange things. I simply had to say to them, well, you've heard what I have to say. I have proclaimed the gospel to you. And you have told me something which I have never heard before. So I'll go away and find out what this story leads to. That encouraged me to read the book, Who Moved the Stone, a famous exposition of how the early church came to know and believe and act upon the fact that Jesus Christ really had been raised from death, what I preached, but which I had to go further into, and it reinforced and confirmed my knowledge and experience that Jesus was indeed risen from the death. It took me to a new level of understanding. I believed it, but there was a new level of understanding there. You could not survive a Roman crucifixion when additionally you had a spear thrust in your side and blood and water came out, a mark of death indeed. And so we proclaim what we know as a fact and what we believe in our experience, that Jesus Christ is name above all names, risen from dead. As Peter said, as a witness of those very facts which he'd been so intimately involved, there is but one name under heaven by which we are to be saved, and it is the name of Jesus. Sorry, gone too far. And this is the key verse. Salvation is to be found in no one else. There's no other name given for our salvation. That remains true for all eternity until Jesus comes again. This is the gospel that we proclaim. Peter had the most incredible courage in proclaiming that before the Jewish Supreme Court. And they could see what courage Peter and John had. They were not learned men. They were ordinary people. But they were standing before, if you imagine standing before the Supreme Court in London and telling them something as fundamental as Peter was telling to this Supreme Court, you can get just a feel for how it must have been. And Peter says the healing was done through the name of Jesus. And then Peter states these famous words. And these words remain with us to our day. They resonate through our experience and through our church's experience. And I just want to share just a little about that. First of all, let me talk about my own experience. My own experience is one of being brought up in a home where my father was agnostic or atheist, my mother was Catholic, but had no real sense of salvation, but believed in the Lord Jesus. My father came to faith through the gospel being proclaimed to him in a time of desperate need. His first wife had died through tuberculosis when they were in their early 20s. This was in the late 1940s. He'd been scarred and damaged so much by that. My mother has insisted that we'd be brought up as Catholics, and that was my upbringing. But I found myself going to a gospel hall where I could see in all the people around me, my contemporaries, that they were living out the Christian faith in a way that was real. It made the Christian faith real to me too, and like so many people in this room, I acknowledged and claimed Jesus as my Saviour to receive the new life that he brings. Our family life was renewed, restored. My father died early through an industrial disease. The family moved on. My brothers became Christians, and praise God for the blessing that that is. My mother died in 2019. We didn't know at the time, but she died with a wooden cross firmly held in her hand. The undertaker told us when they were preparing her for burial, and we said, let that go with her. Her most treasured possession, her faith in Jesus was the most treasured possession. And that was passed through to us through the generations. This too was Debbie's faith as Debbie went to meet her Lord. Praise God for the faith that sustains us from time to eternity. The Christian hope that says this life is not all that there is. This life leads into the present experience of eternal life through the Holy Spirit and leads us on to new life forever with all the saints of heaven. Praise God for that. So, in our own experience, in our different ways, we are to proclaim the Christian faith that renews our lives and we want to share with others. One of the things that the Lord has told me is to claim this community for Christ. It's a word to me. Every morning I walk the dog up on Grange Hill, and as I do, I stand by the memorial and you can look out and you can see the community of West Kirby. And so I do just that. I claim rather than proclaim, but the claim is supported by us seeking to proclaim. And here we're in God's family. He's given us each other to be brothers and sisters together. Here is the place where the Holy Spirit works and in our lives. And the overflow of that is for us to proclaim the gospel as we go out and about in our daily life. So what about our church experience? Our inherited vision is to introduce people to Jesus. As we've updated that, we've said that in the very pithy words, our church vision is to connect your community, each one, to Christ. The Lord's given us the financial resources to do it in terms of reordering our buildings. We seek the Holy Spirit's direction for each step we take. As the church opens up now and life returns to something more like normality, let us make a reaffirmation that we will share the gospel of Christ. We will proclaim this name above all names. For in him is the salvation that brings life, meaning, and purpose from this life and forever. Though the sorrows and joys mix together in our daily life, this one unalterable truth remains, that Jesus is the name above all names, and in his name we may be saved. Praise God for that wonderful, wonderful truth. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we praise you for this wonderful truth that the Lord Jesus is name above all names. And we invite the Holy Spirit to fill our lives and overflow from our lives as we go out from this church to share and proclaim the gospel of new life with all with whom we come into contact, that their lives may be enriched and blessed, given meaning and purpose for now and for always. Amen.